But David thought to himself, "One of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. The best thing I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me." David lived in Philistine territory 1 year and 4 months.
Question. How many of us have ever found ourselves not where we know we needed to be concerning the Lord? Not with the Lord. Don't raise your hands yet. I'm going to add just a little bit to it. We knew we weren't right spiritually, but also mentally we weren't right. We weren't connected with the Lord. It was laborious to get to church. It rained, so I wasn't going to go. The kids messed up this week, and I'm just down. Or emotionally, you know, you weren't right emotionally. You couldn't get excited about the things of God anymore. You once were so excited about the things of God, but then you got, gotta go to church. Yeah, gotta go do this stuff. How many's ever found yourself there? How many of us ever done that? Most of us, yeah, that's good. I'm looking, you know, I'll look and I'll point you out, right, Jeff? I think we've all been there. I think we can all relate to that if we've served the Lord any length of time at all. And this is what I want to talk about today, because what we end up doing in those situations is camping with the enemy. So let's read some scriptures and get started. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2. It says, he, speaking here of David, inquired of the Lord. What did he do? He inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord answered him. And 1 Samuel 23, 4, once again, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, in verse 8, it says there, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? In 2 Samuel 2, 1, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go? In 2 Samuel 5, 19, it says, so David inquired of the Lord, shall I? And in 2 Samuel 5, 23, so David inquired of the Lord, and he answered him, do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them. What I want you to see is David was very familiar with inquiring of the Lord, with praying, with running his options by the Lord, and getting the Lord's opinion on them. He was very familiar with this. But something happened. And what happened with David is that he allowed Saul to get back into his head again. Now, you remember the last time we talked about Saul, David spared his life. He didn't cut his head off, didn't kill him in that cave. Well, there was another opportunity David had also to kill Saul, and he didn't do it. And Saul promised him both times. He said, I'll leave you alone, man. You're a better man than me. I'm going to leave you alone. And Saul didn't do that. Saul continued dogging David. And when something keeps dogging you, it gets in your head. And it got into David's head, this thing, this thought about Saul. And Saul began to get in David's head, and this is the enemy's plan. I want us to see this. And the enemy's plan, you see, I don't know if you realize it or not, but your soul is your mind and your will and your emotions. And so what the enemy wants to do is get in your head, into your soul dimension, and get your soul. He's after your soul. Jesus came to save your soul, but the enemy comes to destroy it, destroy your thinking, destroy your mind, mess up your emotions, mess up your life. And this is the enemy's plan. And the way he does it is he gets a thought in our brains that shouldn't be there, a negative thought. And so what we end up doing is the same thing that David did. We stop inquiring of the Lord. We stop praying. We stop doing what we do to connect with God, and we start thinking to our own selves. We start only inquiring of our own selves. We start talking to ourselves and answering ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. I do it all the time. But when you do it with a negative thought in your mind, it's going to have a negative effect on your life. Let me show you this. It's in 1 Samuel 27, 1. It says, but David thought to who? Thought to himself. David thought to himself, one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. Now that's a negative thought. That's a thought David should have never allowed in his head. And we get thoughts in our head. And it just doesn't have to be a fear from somebody. It could be something we know we shouldn't be thinking about. But it gets in our head. And here's what happens. The best thing David said I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. Do what, David? Go where? Go to the ancient enemies? Go to the Philistines? Go to the thing I've always fought with in my life? My parents fought with this? My grandparents fought? Go to this? Go to the land of the Philistines. Stop going to church. Run. Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I'll slip out of... Things will be good in my life. That's what I'm going to do. Now, this is what we all do at one time or the other. Something, someone gets into our head, a thought, something that shouldn't be there. And it starts messing with us and gets our focus off of God and onto this thing. Whatever's happening in our life. And it's dogging us. And it can be anything. It can be a thought that you know you shouldn't have. It could be debt. Does debt ever dog you? It could be debt. And you can't get that out of your mind. And so what you end up saying is, well, I'm just going to give up. It can be a hurt that you've experienced. This hurt is dogging you. It can be your health. Bad health will dog you. It can be words somebody said. It can be an employer. It can be an employer is dogging you. It can be a spouse. It can be an ex-spouse. It can be the kids. Something's going on. And it's in your mind. And it's moved your focus from inquiring of the Lord onto this thing. And it's causing you now to say, I'm going to go to my enemy. I'm going to camp out with the enemy. It torments us one way or the other. It torments us. And the only reason now that it's tormenting you is because you've allowed it to come in and take over your thought life. You've allowed it to come in and remove from you your inquiring of the Lord and remove God's purpose from you. Think about it. Now, when you've inquired of the Lord in the past and you pray and you got God's answers and you moved on those answers, things worked out well. But this thing will not leave you alone. Saul would not leave David alone. This thing, it just won't stop. Every day, every morning, every night. And when we think to our own selves, negative thoughts, fearful thoughts, we're thinking thoughts not from God, but from the devil. And when we're thinking these things, it's going to have a negative effect on us. And when we only talk, only inquire of our own selves, then we only affirm what we want to hear. If you're only inquiring of yourself, you're going to validate what you want to hear. And we end up doing what David did. And David went with his 600 men and their families and lived in the land of the Philistines. He went to Achish, who was the king of the Philistines. He said, hey, you know, I want to come here because Saul's dogging me. And I want to come and I want to live here so he'll leave me alone. Well, Achish and all the Philistines knew that Saul was after David and there was this thing going on between them. And so he says, okay, let's work with this. Let's keep David here. Let's keep an eye on David. And then I won't have to worry about him. That's what the enemy wants to do. He doesn't have to worry about you if he's got your mind. And let's send him down to Ziklag. Let's let him live down there at Ziklag. And so David went to Ziklag. While at Ziklag, David wrote no Psalms. Now, hear me. David wrote at least 75 of the 150 Psalms we have in the Bible. At least 75 of them. And while at Ziklag, though, David wrote nothing. He wrote Psalms when he was shepherding. He wrote songs when he was at Adullam. But he didn't write any songs at Ziklag. He didn't write any Psalms when he's camping with the enemy. There was no worship in his heart. There was no praise from his soul. If you ask David, how are you doing, man? Oh, I'm fine. Oh, I'm great. And if you ask somebody who's experiencing what we're talking about here, and if somebody would have asked you the time that you got away from the Lord a little bit and you knew you weren't where you should have been with the Lord at that time, if somebody asked you, "Oh, I'm great, man, I'm cool." No, you weren't. No, you weren't. You were in a bad place. Just like David was. David was in a bad place. Now, we do this when something gets in our head that shouldn't be there. We go and we live in our zigzags. The zigzag of lust. The zigzag of addiction. The zigzag of hate. The zigzag of hurt. We find ourselves camping at zigzag with the enemy, with the thing that's tried to destroy us all of our lives. Your zigzag might be alcohol. And so I'm going to zigzag. I'm going to alcohol. And you camp with alcohol. And it makes you laugh and be numb for a while. Or your zigzag might be a forbidden relationship. And you'll smile for a while. Your zigzag might be pornography. And you'll be entertained for a while. Or your zigzag might be your drug of choice. And you'll buzz or crash or rush or sleep for a while. But it's temporary, and during this time, there will be no psalm that comes from you. Nothing meaningful is going to come from your life. There'll be no worship from your heart. There'll be no praise from your soul. Because your focus is no longer on God. Your focus is there at zigzag, and your focus is on what's gotten in your head. Camping with the enemy provides temporary relief. Temporary relief, but always removes worship, removes praise, and it's out to destroy you. Let me read you this in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. It says this: "There is a way that seems right to a man or a woman, but in the end, it leads to death, it leads to destruction." That's its purpose. It seems right, but its purpose is to destroy. Even in laughter, the heart may ache. You're putting on a front. You're really not happy. There's really not laughter in your heart. Your heart's aching. You're just outwardly expressing, "Oh, I'm okay." And joy may end in grief. This is just temporary. It's temporary. Because eventually it's going to come down on us. And God will let you camp at zigzag. God will let you go there. He will. But nothing good's going to happen while you're there. And in fact, everything you have is at risk. Everything. I mean everything. Everything. I'm gonna explain this to you. Now see, while David was at Ziklag, the Philistines decided to attack the people of God, the children of Israel. They decided to attack Saul and Jonathan. They decided to attack. Let me read this to you. 1 Samuel chapter 28:1 says this: "In those days the Philistines gathered their forces to fight against Israel, the people of God. Achish said to David," Achish is sort of a demon spirit, an aspect of the devil here. "Achish said to David, 'You must understand that you and your men will accompany me in the army. You're going to fight with us.'" Now, here's David. David, the man after God's own heart, God's anointed, siding up with the enemy, going to fight against the children of God. David. This is what happens to us when we first allow things to get into our head that shouldn't be there, and then we allow it to take us to move into zigzag, and then we begin to entertain this stuff. See, this is where we get. And we allow something negative to land in our head. We get negative and we choose sides with the enemy. We start attacking the people of God. We start attacking and talking negatively about church. We start talking negatively about the people of God. We start making fun of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and those kinds of things. We start attacking it. We have accompanied the enemy. We've backslid. Some of the Philistine officers came to Achish and said, listen, we don't know if this is a good idea. David and his 600 warriors, they're pretty good. And we could be right in the middle of the battle with Israel, and he would turn on us and fight with us. And he's probably correct, because this is the fight, and we'll talk about it next time, where Saul and Jonathan died. David led his men back to Ziklag to find. 1 Samuel 30 verse 3 says, when David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed. Destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud. David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Now, while David was hanging with the Philistines, the uncircumcised of heart and mind, could be friends, that just people out there, just the wrong people, hanging with them, uncircumcised of heart and mind. It could be hanging with the wrong thoughts, but they're hanging with the wrong people. While he's hanging out here with the Philistines, the enemies, your enemy, your ancient enemies, the thing you've always battled with, when you're hanging out with that, the Amalekites come and attack everything and took everything. The Amalekites came and they took the home. They took the marriage. They took the spouse. They took the children. They took all the possessions. Everything that David had worked so long to acquire, everything that he worked all of his life to obtain, was gone. Why? Because, number one, he let a negative thought in his mind that took him to Ziklag, camping out with the enemy. When you camp out with the enemy, eventually the Amalekites come. And they take everything. Now, don't miss the point. You camp out with the enemy. You have a Ziklag. You stay there long enough, the Amalekites are going to come. They're going to take your marriage. They're going to take you home. They're going to take your children. They're going to take every possession, your money, everything you've worked so hard, all your life to acquire. You're going to come home one day, and it's gone. How many people do you know that came back to Ziklag, found everything gone? And all you can do is weep until you can't weep anymore. And it gets worse. You think that would be bad enough? 1 Samuel 30 verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed. How distressed? How stressed was David? He is stressed out. For the people spake of stoning him. It wasn't bad enough that all of his stuff was gone. Now he's upset everybody, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. What David did didn't just affect David. What we do never just affects us. Especially if you're a leader. And all of us are leading something. We're leading our families, or leading a church, or leading at work. And so David was upset because he lost his stuff, but David was also upset because people were upset with David. And you might say, well, how can that be? He's the leader. He's the anointed of God. He's God's chosen. Well, whoopee-doo. I don't care who you are. If you camp out with the enemy and make bad decisions, those bad decisions are going to affect other people, and those other people will get ready to stone you. You can be a man or a woman after God's own heart. If you camp out with the enemy, you're going to upset some people. And what's so bad is it affects children. And when you start affecting people's children, I don't care how good of friends they are, your closest of friends will pick up a stone. It affects everyone, even children, if you're the leader. Leader of a home, leader of a church, leader of a nation. What do you do? I've painted it for you. I've got it set up for us. What do you do? See, David got it back. What did he do? How did God work with David to get it back? How do we get it back? I want to show you four things that are necessary if we're going to get back what we lost. We all are going to experience this to some degree. Hopefully, we wake up before the Amalekites come and take everything, but it can happen to any of us. So what do you do? How do you get it back? It's no good now to tell David he should have never had this negative thought. People come to me wanting counseling or wanting some advice or whatever. Well, there's no need in me telling them, well, you shouldn't have never done this. They know they shouldn't have ever done this. What they want to know is, what do I do to get it back? So yeah, okay, he shouldn't have had the thought, but don't. That's not what he wants. What do you do? Let me give you four things to do. Number one, you got to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Now let's finish reading that verse that I was reading just prior to this in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. And it says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." But would you say but? But. The Bible's full of buts. See, though the Amalekites have come and taken everything from you, there is a but in God. But if you'll do this, God's going to fix it. But it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I need you to repeat that. I need you to say that back just like it's written. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Say it. But David encouraged himself. Now I want you to say it one more time. And this time I want to make it personal. I want you to say, but I encouraged myself. See, if you've been to Ziklag, you know this is the first thing you got to do. Say it. I encouraged myself in the Lord my God. Say that. I encouraged myself in the Lord my God. This is the first thing we've got to do. Other translations say David found strength in the Lord is God. You know, it's so amazing to me because we all do it, but we'll let things get so bad and then we'll finally get strength from God. We finally do it. It's amazing to me that God is so merciful. See, it doesn't matter, ma'am, what you have done. If you will encourage yourself in the Lord, if you'll get right with God, if you'll get yourself straightened out with God, He'll fix it for you. I don't care how bad it's gotten. Oh, such a merciful God. How did David encourage himself in the Lord his God? How did he do it? Well, it's kind of simple. He just got right with God. He changed his focus from Saul to God. He's not worried about Saul anymore. When you're losing your family, when you're losing your children, when you're losing everything that you're not worried about that thing anymore. And you start focusing on God. And it says there he encouraged who? He encouraged the other guys? Who did he encourage? He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged, listen, this is intentional. This just doesn't happen. You just don't wake up and poof, it's all fixed. No, you intentionally stop thinking about that stuff you shouldn't be thinking about to start with, and you start thinking about the things of God. You intentionally focus on God, and things start changing in your life. It's intentional. It's something we intentionally do. He began to intentionally focus on the Lord his God and things changed. And if you want back what you've lost, the first thing you've got to do is begin to focus on God. Get yourself right with God. And what will happen is you'll get encouraged and you'll start seeing things turn around. That's number one, encourage yourself. Number two, ask the Lord and do what he says do. Ask the Lord and do what he says do. Now you got to think about this. Now, while all these guys are picking up stones to throw at somebody, David is seeking his God. See, that's the difference. It's the difference of somebody that's after God's heart and most folks. David begins to seek God. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, it says this, "Then David asked the Lord." What did he do? He inquired again of the Lord. He asked the Lord, "Should I chase them? Will I catch them? What should I do?" And the Lord told him, "Yes, go after them. Now watch. And you will what? What will happen? If you'll do it, David, what will happen? You will surely recover everything that was taken from you." Would you repeat that part back to me? "You will surely recover everything that was taken from you." That's the kind of God we have. He wants you to get it back. So David and his 600 men set out. Put that back up, please. Let's look at, I want to see. And David and his 600 men did what? Set out. They did it. You got to set out. You got to go after it. David asked the Lord what to do, and then he obeyed the Lord. Now, I watch this. I watch people visit Ziglag, and they get messed up with the enemy, and they start losing homes and families and monies, and I watch this all the time, and then I see them refocus, and I see them encourage themselves, and they get excited again, and they come back, you know, but I don't see very many people ask the Lord what to do and do it. They stop with just encouraging themselves. They stop with just getting their lives back to God. Listen, that's not sufficient. You will never get it back if that's all you do. You got to ask the Lord what to do. Then you got to set out to do it. It just doesn't happen easily. You got to put some works with your faith. They never get back what the Amalekites took. They lose their marriage. They lose their homes. They lose their children. They lose their money. 1 Samuel 30 verse 9 says this, "So David and his 600 men set out, and they soon came to Besor Brook." Now that's important. Besor Brook. "But 200 of the men were too exhausted to cross the brook." Let me just say this. Now, look now. These guys, these 200 guys, this is their wives, this is their children, this is all their possessions, things they've worked for all their lives, and they're too exhausted? "And they were too exhausted to cross the brook, so David continued the pursuit with his 400 remaining troops." So David took off, and they came to pretty quickly to this brook Besor. Now let me show you what Besor means. It's the Hebrew word there, and what it means is cheerful, happy, and it's a place. It's a place we get. Cheerful, happy place. It's a stream in Palestine. Church gets like that. Church gets like that. People get back. They refocus on God. They reconnect with the Lord. They get encouraged. And they start the fight. They start going after to acquire back what the enemy has taken from them, what the Amalekites have taken. And they start to fight, but they get to Besor. They get to this little happy place. And they stop. And you can't stop. They stop at a happy place. Oh, this is good enough. Well, you got to ask yourself, how important is my wife? How important, how badly do I want my children to love me? How important is it to get my finances back right? How important is it? Just stay in your happy place. See, it's not easy to do what the Lord says to do. We get tired. We all do. We get angry. We want to throw stones at somebody. We get depressed. We get wore out. But how badly do you want a great life? David and the man that went with him, the men after God's own heart, those guys, they went on and they were focused. See, this is the difference. People after God's own heart, they're focused and they go on. And they do what the Lord says. So number one, you got to encourage yourself. Number two, you got to ask the Lord and do what He says. Then number three, you got to look for the unexpected answer or the unexpected solution. Now, I don't think I wrote this well. So maybe talking through it will help you better. Let me read you the scripture here first. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 11. It says, "They found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. And they gave him water to drink and food to eat." We What I want us to see here is we've got to remain teachable, open. David's pursuing the track. The trails run out. Where'd they go? Well, they found this Egyptian who the Amalekites had dumped in the wilderness to die. Left him to die there. And who would have thought it? And so David takes this Egyptian in the wilderness and takes him back to camp and nourishes him and takes care of him. And this Amalekite had the answer that David needed. He knew exactly where this Egyptian had the answers that David needed. He knew exactly where the Amalekite's camp is. So he takes David. He has the solution. He has the answer unexpectedly. And he takes David to their camp. Now, the Bible talks about angels unaware, divine interventions, where something just happens. You know, it's raining on Sunday morning, so I really don't want to go, but I'm gonna push through. I'm gonna cross Beshur. Yeah, it could be nice laying here in the bed, but I'm gonna go on to church because you come to church that day and boom, there's the answer. Or you pick up a book and boom, there's God's given you this answer, and wow, one sentence in the whole book, but there it is. Or you're watching a television program or a movie, and boom, there's the answer. You meet somebody, you may never see them ever again in your whole life, but they say one thing that points you in the direction to go get what the Amalekites have taken from you. See, God wants to do this for you. And what we've got to do is get past just encouraging ourselves and get past just taking off and setting out to do what He said to do. We've got to open our minds up, not get locked down in demands doctrine. Open our heads up to get some new teaching, some new stuff, some new information. You know, we've got to be open-minded because what God wants to do is speak to us. And so if we'll let Him speak to us, He's going to give us the solution. He wants you to have the solution. Number one, encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Get right with God. Focus back on God. Number two, make sure that you pray or you talk to the Lord and then begin doing what He says do. Set out. Number three, find your solution. It's there. God will get it to you. Stay open-minded. Keep looking for it. Then number four, fight until you win. Now, none of it matters if you don't do this. Fight until you win. Let me read you the scripture. 1 Samuel, chapter 30, verse 17. David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day. And none of them got away except for 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything. How much? Would you say that back? David recovered everything. Say it. David recovered everything. Everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. I'll talk a little bit about that in a second. Nothing was missing. Young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. He took all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them. His men drove them ahead of other livestock, saying, "Hey, yay, 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 this is David's plunder." Now, this is a long and a hard fight. I think a lot of times we say, "Well, I just do one or two things and I'll be okay." No, I wish. You know, I'll just pray it. I'll just say it. I'll just go to church. I wish. You know what? I was thinking about this. Man, if going to church kept you from having problems, I would never have a problem. I am here every day. It doesn't work that way. You got to fight and fight and fight and fight until you win. Right. That's what you got to do. You fight until you get your family back. You fight until you get your money back. You fight until you get your home back. You fight until you get your children back. You fight. I guess everybody knows what happens when you play a country song backward, don't you? Huh? What happens? Play a country song backwards. What happens? You get it all back. You get your wife back, your dog back, your house back, your truck back. You get it all back. Now, I said that for a purpose. You say what you got to do is reverse the negative. Reverse the negative. And the way you reverse the negative is, number one, encouraging yourself in the Lord your God. Get right with God. Number two, you got to listen to God. Pray, talk to God, and do what He says. Set out. Number three, you're going to have the answer along your trail. He's going to give you the divine answer that's going to get you there. And number four, you got to fight and fight and fight until you win. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Now, we know about Abigail. We talked about Abigail. But by this time in David's life, he had married again. And in fact, he'd been married three times now. Man after God's own heart. Married three times. Michael, Saul's daughter, Abigail, and then his third wife's name's Ahinoam. Ahinoam. You'll get it on the way home. Ahin. This is the mother of Amnon. And I don't know how well you know your Bible, but Amnon raped his own sister. Ahinoam. We'll talk about all that in another lesson. That's not for today. But not only did David recover everything he lost, but he got more. He got plunder. He got plunder. You see, it works that way. Okay, you messed up. You made a bad decision. You let something get into your head. It drove you to zigzag. And now, you know, you've lost everything. Okay, you made a bad mistake. You did it wrong. You messed up. But, God's but. You encouraged yourself in the Lord your God. You talked to God, and He told you what to do, and you set out to do it. Number three, He's given you just information, divinely given you knowledge that you didn't have before. And then number four, you fought till you won. And now you don't just have what you lost, you have more than you lost. You say, this is a principle in the Scriptures. If you catch the devil, how much does he have to pay back? Seven times. And David went from hated to being hero. David went from being the one we want to stone to, yay, look at our leader. Whoa, this is David's plunder. Yay. Sir, ma'am, listen to me. I don't care how badly you have messed up. You might be the one they want to stone right now. You might be the brunt of all of it right now. But if you will encourage yourself in the Lord your God, talk to God, and get your life straightened out with Him, and do what He says to do, set yourself out, and if you will listen to God along your way, He's going to give you information you had no other way of having. And if you will fight and fight and fight until you win, you can be back on top of your family. Listen, God will take you from being the one they want to stone to being the family's hero. Right. This is the God we serve. And this is how it works. And I had a sad thought. I want to say this before I give you my sad thought. God gives you back more than the Amalekites took. Hear me, how you handle your tough times determine your long times. I wanted to say it in that phraseology. How you handle your tough times determine your long times. What I'm saying here is how you handle the tough times of life determines your future. How badly do you want your children to love you? How badly do you want your marriage to work? How badly do you want to keep your home? How badly do you want to be successful? It determines. What you do in the hard times determines how your long times work out. Now, this sad thought that I had, I want you to imagine they had fought and fought and fought all day, all night, and finally they get the victory. And you know, I just picture it. Here are the guys, you know, they're running in now, and they're grabbing their wives, and they're grabbing their children, and they're finding, you know, moms are finding the children, and the children and the moms are finding the dads, and they're just having this rejoicing time, and everybody's hugging and crying and laughing and rejoicing, and they're just so happy to be back together. God's put them back together. Wow, what a moment. But you look over there, and there's this little child. And this little child's, Daddy! Where's my daddy? And this wife's looking, honey, where are you? You seen him? Where's my husband? Where's my husband? Where are you? And have you seen him? Have you seen my husband? He's not dead, is he? He didn't get killed. No. He didn't get killed. Well, where is he? He's at his happy place. little girl, where's my daddy? Where's my daddy? Where's my daddy? Honey, your daddy's... He didn't come. He's at his happy place. How does this child feel? My daddy didn't love me enough to fight for me. How does that wife feel? My husband didn't love me enough. He was too tired. We've all been to the book, Beshur. All of us. And while there, we don't have any idea. We don't even think about our not pushing on and fighting until we win. We have no idea that our stopping at Beshur, at our happy place, affects our families, affects our children, affects our spouses. And so we say, you know, I am so tired today. I'm just going to sleep in, man. I'm not going to church. I'm just so tired. I know I need to pray. I hadn't prayed in a month, but man, I can't keep my eyes open. I'm just going to skip it. I know I need to read God's word. I know, but my mind is just so focused on all this other stuff. I'll read it another time. I'm so exhausted with my bills. I really can't give. I'm just so wore out with this stuff. I will be so happy when Terry stops singing and lets us sit down. Never imagining what message we're sending to our spouse and to our children. Must not be very important to praise, to pray, to read, to go to church, to give. Daddy doesn't do it. Mama doesn't do it. But it always affects. It always affects your spouse and your children. When David and his men returned back to Beshur, to the 200, the guys that went and fought the 400 were really angry with the 200 for not going. And they didn't want to share. They had all this plunder, but they didn't want to share. And 1 Samuel 30, verse 23, it says, David replied, "No, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us." Now, we take so much credit for our great lives. Right? Oh, I'm a man of God. Bless God. I got all nine of the gifts of the Spirit. I can talk on Sundays for hours and hours and hours. I can quote the Scriptures. But if I don't share, you know, we take so much credit. See, if it wasn't for the Lord, I couldn't do any of these things. And we take so much credit for our victories and our successes in life. But David realized, you know what? God's given us this victory. It's God who's really made this available to us. And David said, No. We're going to share. We're going to share with our brothers and our sisters. And not only did he say that we're going to share with them, let me go ahead here. He has protected us and handed over to us the forces that came against us. See, not only did David share with the 200, what David also did, there's like 13 different communities and cities and villages around there that David took and shared with them as well. You know, we have such great lives. We do. I am such a blessed man. And I realize that God's done it for me. We're so blessed. And some of us are a little more victorious than others, a little more successful, a little wealthier, a little better off financially. You know, the least I can do is share. If I really believe that God has helped me have this life, then the least I can do is share. I am so happy. I was thinking about this. I'm so happy that Jesus shared his victory with me. How about you? The least we can do is share our victories with others. So what have we learned today? You can be a man or a woman after God's own heart. You can be. And still backslide. Still go and live at Ziklag. Camp with the enemies. But while you're there, if you stay there long enough, it's going to come down on you. And you're going to lose everything. But, if you will, want it back bad enough, and encourage yourself in the Lord your God, get your life straightened out with God. If you'll encourage yourself and intentionally focus on Him, and intentionally get that negative stuff out of your head, and intentionally focus on positive stuff. And then number two, if you will talk to God and talk to the Lord and get what He tells you to do and then set out and do it. Not stopping at Besor and keeping on going. He's going to provide you information that you could get no other way except through Him. Except through some divine intervention, some way, He's going to get you what you need to have. And then if you will, number four, fight it. That's going to be all right. Not only get you back yesterday, have more time to do it. He also gives you the plunder back so you can share. God is so good. And He wants us all to learn this principle because every one of us are going to experience Ziklag. Every one of us are going to experience Besor. Even if you're a man or a woman after God's own heart. Let's pray. Father, we want to be men and women after your heart. I pray today that our lesson in looking at this takes us a step closer to becoming that. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You know, you'd say, Delbert, you know, wow, I've been to Ziklag and I've been to Besor. What I need is to remember this because this is exactly what happens. And I need to get myself straightened out with God. I need to talk to Him and do what He says do. I need to look for His ways, get His knowledge, His divine interventions, and I need to fight. I need to remember this. So if that's you, and it speaks to you, and you along with me, I've been there, but along with me would ask the Holy Spirit to come and just help us remember this. And if we find ourselves at Ziklag, to get out of there as fast as we can. If that's you, would you raise your hand and let's just all pray together. Yeah, I think that's got just about all of us. Father, thank you. Thank you for your wonderful word of life. It just lays it out there for us, Lord. We can see it and taste it and touch it. It's so real. Lord, we ask you now by your Spirit to quicken this stuff to us. And we find ourselves down spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. Lord, that you will encourage us. You'll remind us. Hey, encourage yourself. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. Now maybe you are in Ziklag right now. You're away from God. You are not where you need to be, and you know it. But you want to be. Or maybe, you've never really dedicated your life to Him, and you just have always lived in Ziklag and always losing everything that you've ever worked for. Well, God wants to help you right now, today. Right where you're sitting. And if that's you, and you need to get back where you know you need to be with the Lord, I want to pray for you right where you're sitting. I want to pray for you. I just ask you just to lift your hands